You've discovered TalkZone.com, the best in internet talk radio. Now, back to Barely Legal with Robin Earle and David Spada on TalkZone.com.
Always good to hear from my former roommate, Steve, the Ming, the Mongo.
Especially when he wakes
the Merciless, yeah, get him woke up. Wouldn't it be, you know what? I mean, isn't that what life is supposed to be? You know, you just wake up at noon, Billy, like you do. And
noon?
No.
I'm up all night.
Half the day's over.
I'm watching the possum come down from the tree. Are you kidding me? I never sleep.
That's great.
Like a zombie.
Hey, for those who have been listening to the pod, or, you know, listening live, and of course, if you hear this later, podcast it on TalkZone.com, the Barely Legal Show. But just want to reiterate that the WOW mobile team with my website, WOW, W-O-W, RobinEarle.com, be sure to look at it. It's been updated. It's a great site. You can leave your information on that website, and I'll be sure to get back to you. Just leave your phone number and email address, and I'll get that for you. There's, you know, David, this, I mean, the teams around the country, I mean, guys are getting record checks. It's just unbelievable of the frenzy that's going on out there, you know.
How many members are there now?
Oh, geez. I mean, in the last 30 days, we've brought on over 40,000 reps. 40,000 reps across the country, which our goal is 100,000 within 90 days. We started that February 1st. We'll easily surpass that. I mean, this is something, Billy, I don't know if you're familiar with this or not, but, you know, in the cell phone industry, you know, the big four control 90 to 91% of all the 277 cell phone users in the United States. And we're making a hell of a splash with WOW Mobile. We're privately held. Someone can come onto our service for unlimited everything. iPhone users are spending $150 plus. That's $89. That's it. Plus, when you refer three, it's free for life. You never pay a cell phone bill again, ever. That's why we're kicking ass out there.
All right. Give me that card. My son-in-law's got, I don't know how many cell phones he's got with his company, but he's got a lot.
Well, I'll be happy to stop in and show how the system works and how we can drastically reduce that damn cell phone bill.
Billy be selling cell phones out of the hot dog stand.
I'll sell anything as long as I can make a buck.
I got a question. And maybe your cousin wouldn't mind if, and I will direct it with a phone number that they would, I'll have to show you how it all works, but put a little poster up at the hot dog stand.
Sure, you can.
WOW Mobile. I'll get it printed and put together and nice, very nice.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. We'll talk about that after the show.
Sounds good.
But anyway, the other subject that we had here, the comments by Milton Bradley talking about Chicago being a racist city and you know, he was. What do you think about that, Billy?
You know, the guy's a complete idiot. The guy never did the job over here. I watched this guy hit. You know, they have a hitting coach. You know, left-handed hitters swing under the ball. This guy was going on top of the ball. That's why when he hit a 2-1 count, I said, it's a ground ball to the second baseman. That's what he did all the time. Every once in a while, he would get a good swing on the ball. And this guy, his worst power side was his left side. So when they said they were looking for a left-handed hitter, this guy don't hit home runs left-handed. He hit about 8 of them.
Was he a switch hitter?
Yeah.
He was a switch hitter, but he had no better, power.
He hit 22 home runs, his best year he ever had. Never drove in 100 runs in his life.
Jesus.
They give this guy $10 million. If they get this guy Hoffpower, they should work this guy to death to play the outfield or this other kid they
right,
got rid of.
Right.
These guys couldn't play defense, but they could hit this guy Fox. He'd be a DH in the American League and hit 30 home runs.
Yeah.
Over here, they can't use him because he doesn't have a position to play.
They gave the guy $10 million a year for 3 years. They could have got Adam Dunn.
And that's
for the
guaranteed
same
money.
Guaranteed money.
Adam Dunn, he can't catch a fly ball, but he's 1-for-4, hit one out of the park.
Right.
But he's also a liability. But there's so many guys out there that they could have picked up for less money, but they didn't get them. You know, I don't understand that.
Well, I think, our great GM there with the Cubs
ahead. Well, he did a good job for them. There was nobody available, but why take a guy that's when the Dodgers get rid of him, you know, he's got to be bad because they can handle just about everything. And Lasorda didn't want this guy. This guy was a troublemaker place he went.
You're with eight teams in 8 years, there's something wrong with you. It's not something wrong with the teams.
What's the racist stuff about? There's no racist. You know, you get guys in a ballpark when I was a kid and Joe DiMaggio come, hey, you greaseball guinea. You know, what the hell? They talk like that all the time.
All the time.
Hey, Mick, you know.
Yeah.
Years ago, they would lay it on you, not like today. You're a guy saying, well, that's racist. That's bullshit. The thing of it is, the opposing teams used to come in, and they used to ride these guys in the dugout. And each dugout used to ride a guy. He'd strike out twice. Hey, dummy. Yeah. You know, they would do the same shit in the dugouts.
Robin was part of it.
I think the Cub fans got so fed up with Milton Bradley that the N-word was starting to come out, and maybe that's why he got, you know, I mean.
I never booed a guy in my life. I just watched the ball game. You know where our seats are at.
Yeah. Getting to the professional level, I mean, no one should be booed.
No.
I mean, you might yell and scream.
There's only a select few guys that can play this game. This guy obviously could play at one time, but he got himself in such a bind over here that he forgot how to hit left-handed at all.
Now he's with Seattle, my hometown, so
we'll see him hit some home runs out of that park.
Robin, you went through this, though. Look, people who really had to deal with the black players back in the day, you had two black quarterbacks you played with, Warren Moon at Washington and Vince Evans with the Bears. Yep. Don't you think those guys got booed and harassed and got called a lot more names than Milton Bradley did?
Vince Evans gets you killed. He's throwing them high passes. You go up in the air and forget about it. Them guys will kill you.
Yeah, well, particularly back when I came into the league, that black quarterbacks were very rare. Moon,
Gilliam,
Vince Evans,
Doug Williams.
Doug Williams.
How about that big guy that played with the Rams? He looked like a linebacker. Was he big? I forgot his name. He was a monster.
No, you're talking about the Raiders? Now?
Years ago, this guy played with Harris was his name.
Oh,
he
Harris.
Was a monster. Big guy.
Big boy.
And then Gilliam. And then the other guy that won the Super Bowl.
Yeah, you're going to find that the quarterbacks today are big. You know, Kevin's 6'6".
But what did Vince Evans have to go through being the quarterback of the Bears and Warren Moon?
Well,
didn't they get their share of name calling?
To a certain degree. I mean, not like what, people, you got to understand something. At least the characters, Vince Evans' character, Warren Moon's character was superb. These guys were classy guys. This Milton Bradley was a piece of crap.
Because you never heard him complain about it. You never heard Vince Evans, Warren Moon, Doug Williams ever say a word. They went about their job, and they proved the critics wrong. Milton Bradley, like you said, is blaming everybody for everything. The Cubs gave me a note, and there was no address on it saying this. You know what? I don't want to hear this
stuff. That check every 2 weeks was coming. Man, I'd love to get a piece of that action. $10 million. Robert, you get $10 million. If you got any brains, you're set the rest of your life.
Yeah, you would think so.
Just buy bonds, government bonds. You don't have to invest in anything else,
Billy,
whatever they give you.
Look at Julius Peppers. He got $20 million this year guaranteed, and he's sitting there buying 25 bottles of $375 champagne over the weekend. So he spent $10,000 on champagne. That's how you go through $10 million real quick.
Well, how about the guy that shot his
Williams.
Yeah. You know what he had in his house? This guy lived in an outhouse when he was a kid, right? Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, he gets this home. There's two people. He's got 26 rooms in this house. There's two people living in there. What, do you sleep in a different room every night?
Yeah, they don't know.
Now, the guy's busted. He probably don't have a quarter. He's going to jail for, what, 6-7 years?
Oh, yeah, because he sat there, shot the guy, showing the gun off and boom, pounding him.
How long did it take, 5 years before they did something to this guy?
He was out for 5 or 6 years. Yeah, they had to start over again.
Yeah, for 6 years.
I mean, it's nuts here. But again, it's the money. The money ruins these kids. You take a kid, 21, 22 years old, you give him millions of dollars, what do you think's going to happen?
Well, look at the Hawks. They gave them guys millions of dollars. Kane and Jonathan Toews.
Kane's still getting in trouble.
Hockey players are totally different.
Well, yeah, you know why? Because
hockey
they're humble players. They're humble.
Humble isn't the word for it, though.
These guys are from these little towns where their parents used to make rinks in the backyard for them. And, you know, they come from all these places, Saskatchewan. There's Indians over there. I mean, they're still using bow and arrows over there.
I mean, let's face it, International Hockey League, all right, what's the ratio between black and white?
There's a couple of guys. The Blackhawks is black.
About 99% white.
All right, okay. I got a question for you. Who was the first black hockey player in the National Hockey League?
I couldn't answer
Billy
that.
O'Ree was his name. Played with Boston.
An Irish guy?
Billy O'Ree. He was Irish. He smoked Irish.
Well, St. Patrick's Day is coming up.
The other guy was one of the great goalies. Graham Fuhr was black. A lot of people didn't know that.
Dustin Bufflin on the Hawks now.
Well, yeah, he's from Minnesota.
He's got a mulatto, though, isn't he, a little bit?
Well, he's still got a little chocolate in him. He's a good guy, though, man. Right. Yeah. You know, Robin?
Yeah.
You know, you're talking about the guys that cheat on their wives. This, you know, I'm talking about these sports guys.
Oh, sure.
Well, Tiger Woods, okay, here's a guy, every day, every play in the golf course, you know, that beside being a good golfer, this guy's a pretty good looking guy. He got a nice body.
Yeah.
He had 50 chicks every day thrown in his face. Every day. This happens to these guys.
Of course.
I got a story for you that's really amazing. I'm not going to mention
these
guys'
names. You're making
me
nervous here. You're saying Tiger Woods is a nice looking guy here. I'm moving.
Well, he's a good, you look at him. He's not a that bad looking guy.
Oh.
Plus, he's personable. This guy graduated from Stanford. You know, that's
no
the top
idiot.
Ranked school.
When you got $1 billion in your pocket, you get good looking
but
real
now,
quick.
Now, you look at it this way. You know, his wife has got two young kids, and she's always working. So he comes home and says, honey, you know, we can have a little fun tonight. Oh, Tiger, man, I'm so tired. These two kids ran me ragged. The next night, same bullshit. What's this guy going to do? He's going to fool around, right?
Well,
he's going to fool around. All these guys fool around. I'll tell you a story if you want to hear this one.
Sure.
I was at the Western Open many years ago, and they played at Butler National.
Mm-hmm.
So this was the Friday, and these two guys missed the cut. Two big-name players missed the cut. And I'm sitting like two stools away from him at this. The Butler National's got a clubhouse that's fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
They give you frosted glasses with your beer. I mean, first class. So I hear these guys talking. He says, you know what? I got to catch a flight in about 2 hours and 40 minutes. He says, I got to leave this fabulous broad over here. He says, I got to catch this flight. I got to get home.
Mm-hmm.
So I know what the guy is. I'll tell you after. The show's over, but okay. I will never mention his name. I wouldn't want this guy to get divorced. But
how many years ago?
It's a long time. It had to be 20 years.
Okay.
Easy.
He might be divorced anyway. Or is he
no,
still
I don't think so.
He's still married? Okay.
He might
right.
be. He's a big,
okay.
real big
So
guy.
He has two hours and 45 like minutes to catch his flight. So what happened?
He caught the flight.
Ah.
He didn't want to miss his flight.
Sure.
So he went, there was, you know, O'Hare wasn't too far away at that time.
Yeah.
You know, these
yeah.
guys missed the cut. They got their flights. They got to get out of here because then they're going someplace else.
Right. Robin went through it back in the day. You saw the women throwing themselves at the Bear players.
Well, you
what
know,
about the, they did it in baseball too.
Well, any professional, arena, particularly when they talk athletes, I mean, any time that we traveled, they seemed to know where the hotels we were staying at. We'd get off that bus, there'd be fans, but there'd always be a few of those women that are looking around. There's no question about it. But see, football players didn't have the advantage. See, we had to go in there on Saturday. We were out Sunday after the game. Plus, we had curfew. So
and you guys are all beat up anyway. You couldn't even walk after Sunday's game.
Yeah, if guys that had girlfriends and so forth, it was kind of tough. It wasn't as easy.
So know? Who were they looking for, Peyton or you back then?
You know what
oh,
they used
please.
You know what they used to do years ago when the Yankees used to come to town? I was like 17, 18 years old. They used to stay at the Del Prado Hotel on 55th and a Drive. Oh, man, I'd go there all the time. And, man, I'd always wind up with somebody. You know, it was fabulous. You know, I was only 18 years old.
Yeah.
But they're all hanging out. That was Del Prado Hotel. All the Yankees stayed there. All those teams that came from, that played the Sox at Comiskey Park.
Look at this Facebook now. How many women are soliciting these athletes on here, sending their pictures, talking to them? It's incredible.
Well, they want to make a couple dollars, you know. They're going to make a lot of money.
Well, you got, you know, I mean, look at, the subject of professional athletes and women and sex and all that good stuff.
They got the whole
never,
package.
Never go away.
All the money that they make, these guys got everything. They got the whole package, man. They get everything.
They never go away. Of course, our next guest that we got on, of course, he'd never know anything about the travel in the world, about women and staying in hotels and all that. Hey, I just got the high sign. We got Floyd Bannister on the line here. How you doing, Floyd?
I'm doing fine, guys. How's everything?
Great. Oh, we're just having a hell of a conversation in studio here. We've got Billy Randazzo. He's most famous for his 56-year-old hot dog stand in Chicago. All right.
Awesome.
I'm Robin Earl, and we've never met, but we are from the same area. I went to Kent Redding High School.
Oh, wow. There you go. That's
they're,
cool.
They're in Kent, and I believe you went to Kennedy?
I certainly did. You bet, yeah.
And you're the same age.
We're exact same age. Born in 1955, right?
A good year.
Great year.
Do you remember Robin from when he played it with the Washington Huskies back in the early 70s?
Boy, I sure don't.
You know, I got the excuse I got hit in the head too many times, but baseball players don't have that.
They get hit in the head before they had helmets.
So anyway, you're down in Arizona now. What are you up to, Floyd?
Right now I run a TV and basically a photo studio, North Phoenix. Keeps me pretty busy. It's a lot of fun. I do a variety of things, from shooting Beyonce for Cosmo or Danica with her race cars or ESPN shoots, or we just did Joe Torre and Cecil Fielder and and Billy Butler. So yeah, it's exciting. I get to meet a lot of nice people.
Who do you rather shoot, Beyonce or Billy Butler?
They got to wear an overcoat down there. Was it 35 degrees in Arizona now?
Yeah, how's the
weather here? Well, hey, 40 degrees down there.
How's the weather there? Do you get a chance to take a peek at some of the spring ball down there?
Oh, yeah, I will. I didn't get a chance to go see the Royals play the other day because I was in the middle of a shoot. But, yeah, we had a little bit of rain here the last few, really about the last week, cold weather and rain. But it's pretty much clear blue skies. Looks like we're going to have some nice weather. Everything will dry out. It should be some, be able to get the games back on schedule again.
And your son's pitching for the Royals, right?
Yeah, Brian pitches for the Royals. Yeah, he just threw the other day against Cincinnati. I think he's going to throw again, I believe, on Saturday.
Ah, fantastic. It's always great, the father and son. I've got a couple of boys. One plays college football as a quarterback, and I got one coming up being recruited by the Notre Dames of the world, so we're really looking forward to that. I remember you, Floyd. I mean, you know, you pitched for the White Sox 83. I left the Bears and played in the USFL down Birmingham, Alabama for a couple years, 84 and 85. When I got back, though, I get out there and see some of the games. But what are some of your fond memories when you pitched for the White Sox?
Oh, I think the biggest and one of the best was, September of 83 when the place was rocking, when they were having to replace the bricks in the outfield because of all the people pounding their feet and clapping and having a great time. Those are memories you just can't take away. That was a fun time when we stretched our lead there and everybody came to the park early. I mean, people were breaking down the gates practically just to come watch us take BP. I mean, there was so much enthusiasm. That's just a huge memory. I know for Jerry and Eddie when they had bought the club a couple years prior to see the team turn around and have such a fun year. That was an exciting time.
Yeah, you guys were like a 20-game lead at one point, didn't you?
They needed a shortstop, though. They had this Dobzinski who cost them he made a bad play going around second base and he should have just held up with nobody out.
Was that against the playoffs? Was that against Toronto?
Baltimore.
Oh, Baltimore.
Yeah, I remember that game. I was at that game. I was so pissed off. This guy run around the base and he's running second base. He's not going to third. So what the hell are you running the base so far? And they threw him back and they picked this guy. That was it. Then this kid hit a home run to beat him. He hit one home run all year, I think.
Floyd, I got to warn you, this guy's a hell of a Chicago fan.
Well, you got a good memory, I'll say that.
You remember that when the guy circled around the base and they threw him out?
Well, the ball was hit the left field.
Yeah.
The guy was picking up the ball, he takes a big turn, he gets nailed, and boom.
Oh, that killed the game for you.
Took us out of the inning, we ended up losing by Landry in the 11th inning. Or 10th, 11th.
Tito Landry, which played with the Cardinals. This guy hit one home run his whole life, and he had to hit it against the White. He hit in the upper deck, too.
Yeah, it was a no doubter. That's unfortunate. Gosh, we just couldn't get our offense going that series after we played so well in the second half. For some reason, our offense just kind of went dead on us. But, a couple breaks. And I know if we'd had this is looking bad, of course, and it's nothing big, but I would love to have had a seven-game series. Yeah. Really what
you would have killed them.
But,
you killed them. Your offense is so much better than
theirs. How does your offense go in the tank? I mean, you were hot all year, and then all of a sudden the playoffs come and you get cold. Was Baltimore's pitching staff that great?
No, they were good. I just don't think we made adjustments, and just one of those things where, who knows who has the answer for something like that. I mean, you got to take your hat off to their pitching staff. They did a great job. They definitely shut us down, and that was the difference, no question.
Did you ever dream that Tony La Russa would become the manager he became today?
Talking to Tony, I really like Tony because Tony was a player's manager. Gosh, I mean, we'd be out there in the outfield talking, and he'd come up and just, see how you're doing, see how your family's doing. And he really cared about the player, not only as the player on the field, but a player off the field. So, yeah, I really knew deep down that he was going to do well because even how he handles the press with his players, I mean, I always had a lot of respect for Tony, and everybody I've talked to feels the same way. And a manager, will back you up, and he'll give you your best side and give an honest answer. A player can't ask any more than that, and that's what Tony does, and that's why he's been so successful. And that's why he's been around so long. And that's why he enjoys the game like he does.
He should have never left the Sox as Harrelson got rid of him and Kittle. What did Kittle do wrong with this team?
Well, I don't know.
What the hell? Well, they got rid of La Russa and Kittle. And, for what reason? Then all of a sudden he was general manager for 1 year and then they threw him out.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know why they put Carl for fifth in left field either.
Yeah. The guy, take him 2 years to get around third base.
Now you played with Ron Kittle, and of course Ron's legendary here in this area.
I loved him. I loved him.
Oh yeah, his biggest pair of forearms I've ever seen on a man.
Oh yeah, he was great. I was just up there at Sox Fest last month. Had a chance to visit with him. He's doing well. So Yeah, it's good to come to talk to us, meet a lot of friendly faces. Now that with the White Sox down here, not too far from me, it's fun to go down and, you know, knock Ossie around a little bit, hear some of his jokes and antics, and it makes for a good time.
Yeah. Hey, now, we do stream on the Internet, and it's wide open west here because, you know, you can say whatever you want, but tell me what you thought of this Milton Bradley thing last year. Now he's calling the Chicago Cub fans racist.
You know, that's something I don't have. You know, I wish I knew more about it. I don't. It's unfortunate. I think in a way, a lot of times, when I look back, the game's probably changed a lot as it has now. And, you know, it's one of those things where a player, as soon as he thinks he's bigger than the game or really bigger than himself, you know, we're going to have some problems here. And it's unfortunate. There's no real room for that in the game of baseball or in life in general. It's unfortunate it has to come to that. It's unfortunate it has to be that big of a distraction.
You probably witnessed it with Seattle. I mean, you had one of the first black managers in Maury Wills out there, and he had to get a lot of racist comments at him.
Yeah, no doubt. You know, unfortunately, he didn't really get much of an opportunity to manage very long. That was too bad. And for whatever reason, that, you know, maybe just his inexperience or whatever. But, yeah, those are just issues that I think more often than not, the players on the team really don't see a whole lot of that. You hear about it, you read about it, but you don't really see how much it really affects your team. So, you know, it's not something that you're really, as a player, are going to be able to do much about other than just kind of absorb it and just kind of have a feel for it. And you kind of try to move on because, let's face it, granted, it might be a team, but you play as a group of individuals as a team. And any more distractions than you have to, as far as even trying to play under the pressure and under the idea that, hey, I've got to keep myself in shape and I've got to perform out there, anything less than that being a distraction really takes away from that opportunity to excel on the field.
Well, I'm looking at your bio here, 15 seasons, and we are talking with Floyd Bannister, a former pitcher in the majors. Started with Houston, went to Seattle, 5 years with the White Sox, and finished up a couple years with the Kansas City, then went out to California and Texas. Man, that's a lot of teams. But I'm glad to see here that your two best seasons, 83 and 87, were with the White Sox. It probably was that probably more in your prime time?
Yeah, it was. And it was with a team that I enjoyed playing with. They were a lot of them of my age. Granted, there were some older guys like Carlton and Luzinski and Dick Tidrow and, you know, playing with Seaver and that. It was a lot of fun. But, you know, the nucleus of guys I played with at that time, I still take contact with. Like I said, at Sox Fest, my wife and I went back. We keep in touch with the wives. And kids are all pretty much the same ages, that kind of stuff. So we share a lot of great memories. So, you know, there's no question. I know when I signed with Houston, I was a young kid coming out of college, and a lot of the players on that team were in their mid-30s. So it was a tough transition for me as far as communicating and dealing with the pressures of playing. Seattle was an expansion club, so that was kind of tough. Everybody's wondering, looking over the shoulder, wondering who was going to take their job the next day. So that made it tough. But being with Chicago, it was a lot of fun because a lot of the players were my age and kind of had established themselves somewhat and kind of built on that. So those were some good memories.
Floyd, you were the first pick in the draft after a successful career at ASU, and then you get drafted by Houston as the first pick in the draft. I mean, your high school, your senior high school, you had a 0.00 ERA, go to ASU, win like 38 games there. What do you, being a first pick in the draft, what do you think the Strasburg kid from Washington is going through right now? Do you think he's ready for the major leagues?
You know, it's hard to say. No, there's no question as I read that he's got the physical tools. But there's a lot of guys I've played with that have the physical tools. But it's all about the experience and being able to handle the pressures of day in and day out dealing with. And nowadays, I think even more so, the media and the attention and the accessibility of the fan to have access and interact is so much greater than what I did. And even back then, it was quite a bit. So, it's multiplied many times since. So there's no question. But there's a lot of guys that have very similar stuff that he has, I'm sure. Even though I'm not involved in that much, I don't see it on a day in, day out basis. Yes, he does knock your socks off. And it was one of those situations where he was the most available, the most attractive coming out of college at the time. Whether he can perform, you know, I'm sure that's something they're going to be very careful with. But between the years is where this game is played in a lot of respects over the course of the season, over the course of a career. So, you know, him being able to deal with setbacks and things of that nature, that should prove interesting. I think the biggest adjustment for me is, like you were saying, I ended up going to a team that was 42 games out of first place the year I signed. And so I'm used to winning and all that kind of stuff, whereas I'm sure he is too. So you know, those are adjustments when all of a sudden you go to the major league level. You know, you feel you have the tools, the experience you don't have, but you know you have the tools to be able to perform and play, except you, from a pitcher standpoint, you're so reliant on what the team can do for you offensively and defensively, and nothing to take away from the team I started out with, but there's a reason why we're 42 games out of first place.
Boy, no. Your ASU team could have beat that Astro team. On that team, you had you, Bob Horner, Kenny Landro, Chris Bando, you guys, Kenny Phelps, you guys were loaded.
Yeah, we had 13 guys drafted. I think 9 played in the major leagues. That was a really good year for us.
Holy cow.
Hey, yeah, nobody could hit a ball out of that park. It was so damn big there.
Yeah.
You know, the Rocha hated that park. He said the Astros.
Hey, Floyd, how did it feel to be the first pick overall? I mean, in the NFL, that's jackpot, man. Instant lotto.
The economics of the game have changed tremendously since I signed.
Hey, question. Okay, if you don't mind me asking, what was your signing bonus?
100.
100,000.
Uh-huh.
Isn't that amazing? Wow. What is it today? Yeah. 100 million?
It's a few more zeros, let's put it that way.
That is incredible. 100,000, but you know, back then you're 21, 22 years old, man. That's big money.
You'd have bought a house for 20,000.
I mean, I was a 61st pick of the overall in the NFL draft with the Bears. Mine was 30,000.
Did you have to pay him?
Right, yeah. I had to pay George Halas, yeah.
Well, and the thing that's dumb about the whole thing is you knew you were going to have half of it to taxes.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
The tax bracket years.
Unbelievable.
Floyd.
Yeah.
Did you ever think Ozzie Guillen would be a manager?
You know, at the time, as a manager, no, I thought maybe as a coach, but, I got a chance to spend quite a bit of time with him at Sox Fest, and, he's definitely the kind of guy that, guys will gravitate towards, and, well, I'll tell you what, he tells you point blank what he thinks, and, you know, he's accessible, and just like you said, he kept getting all over me when I was back there, a month ago, he said, how come you don't come over to spring training? And I'm saying to myself, you know, I didn't think he wanted the older players to come back and interfere and all that kind of stuff. And he goes, you know, he's got an open door. And every player I talk to back there, you know, Knerf, all those guys, they respect the fact that they can talk to the guy and he'll communicate. You know, you might not like what he says, but at least you could talk.
Or understand what he says.
Well, that's true.
Yeah.
Him and Kenny Williams have to be like oil and water. They are two totally different personalities.
Totally. I mean, Jerry Reinsdorf was talking, I was talking to him back there, and he goes, hey, when they have a conversation, if they videotape anything, they've got to bleep so much of it out because they get so distracted and they talk two different languages.
Yeah. You got to like what you see with the pitching staff here with the White Sox picking up Peavy. And, I mean, it, you know, a couple of young guys, in the infield and so forth. But, I think the good expectations for the White Sox is I have to excuse myself. I am a Cubs fan, but, I do watch the White Sox. I'm a Chicago guy, but, how are your feelings on that? What do you think here for the White Sox this year?
Well, there's no question they've got a great staff. They might have one of the best staffs, 1 through 5 right now, as far as experience, as far as, you know, youthful arms, experience. They've reinforced their bullpen a little bit as well. And like I said, they've added some players and, I know they have high hopes and, you know, it was a big blow when I just read yesterday, day before, Nathan with the Twins, possibly going down for a little bit. So, you know, that could help out that division as well. But, yeah, there's no question 1 through 5. They've got guys that can go out there and win every time they take the field. And that's a good feeling. When you have that kind of a feeling, you know, your team will rally around that. And they'll play knowing that when they go out there, they got a chance to win, that they don't have to press. And that's what's going to help them, I think, over the course of a long season, realize that with that attitude, even if their starter doesn't have a real good outing or a real good day that day, they know they still have a chance to win.
Don't the Twins have to be outside this year?
Yeah, they have an outdoor park.
So now the Twinkies have got to be outside. Yeah, I bet that changes things
around.
They
lost their top reliever. That's Nathan's out.
It's Nathan, yeah.
He's through.
Well, you know why, Nathan. That's a hot dog. Nathan hot dogs. Yeah.
Hey, in New York, that garbage that's got guts, eyes, feet, tails, and toenails. They put it through dyes.
Now, your hot dogs are
Vienna,
top of the line.
Nobody's even close.
See what happens when you got in studio with you, Floyd, with an attorney and a hot dog guy?
Quite a combination.
Oh, we have fun, though. We have a lot of fun. Anyway, we got about 30 seconds here, and, in your opinion, so you think the White Sox should win this Central Division? That's kind of my prediction.
His kid plays for the Royals, Robin.
Oh, sorry about that.
That's okay. It's all you know, it's one of those things where, like everybody says, on paper they look great. Experience-wise, numbers-wise, over the past 5 years, with the additions they've made, they look great. You know, it's all about staying healthy. If they stay healthy and they get on a roll, I just don't think anybody, you know, has a better staff in that division that can stand up to them. So bottom line is it's just all a matter if they get off to a good start and get on a roll. There's no question that they can hold that division very easily.
Sounds good. Hey, Floyd, thanks for coming on at short notice. Appreciate it. I know Dave was hunting you down. But we look forward to maybe speaking to you during the middle of the season, get a little bit more perspective, a little more update.
See him at one of the golf outings this summer in Chicago.
There you go.
Hey,
all right.
Sounds good, guys. Thanks for your time.
Thank you.
We want to thank our guest today, Steve Mongo McMichaels, and, of course, here with Floyd Bannister. Our sponsors, Spada's Law Office, Wow Mobile. The Townstone Financial. I'm going off the top of my head.
Stewart's
here.
Coffee.
Stewart's Coffee. Fantastic.
What about Jimmy's Hot Dogs?
And Jimmy's Hot Dogs. And Billy, thanks for coming in studio.
My pleasure.
Hey, we had a blast. This is the Barely Legal Show. I'm Robin Earl. And for David Spada, hey, thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.